Truman Schwab has is awake. Has a way of encouraging me. He sits right under my nose, you know, because he likes to sit close to the speaker here. So we encounter one another after almost every service. And Truman has a way of encouraging me, often telling me positive things about my sermon. We all need to have a little feeding of the ego from time to time, including me. No comments. But one of my favorite comments that Truman made was last May, and it was not about the sermon. It was beyond that. He came up to me after the service, and he just threw his head back. That's your posture of excitement, I think. He threw his head back. His hands went like this. He said, "Harry, I am just hungry to be in church." I loved that. I loved it. Are you hungry for God? How is your appetite? Yes, our egos do need to be fed sometimes, all of them. But we need more than that. We need to feed our minds and our spirits with spiritual food. We need to nurture our spirits. And some people would say that's why we come here on Sunday mornings, but I would disagree. That's not why we come here. We come here to extol the Lord Jesus Christ. We come here to worship Him above all. And one of the wonderful benefits of putting Him first is that He does feed us. He feeds us. First we give to God, and then God gives to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the more He feeds us, the more we desire Him. The more we realize our need for Him. The more we want to worship Him. It's a divine circle. It just keeps going for eternity. I believe that's the way it will be in heaven. The more we praise Him and worship Him, the more we're going to want to praise Him and worship Him. How is your spiritual appetite? Are you hungry for God? You already know this about me. I love to eat. And when we go to a restaurant, one of my favorite parts of the restaurant are the appetizers. I love appetizers. I will often ask Elizabeth if she wants to share such and such an appetizer. She'll say, "Oh, I haven't even looked at the appetizers." That's where my eye goes first, to the appetizers. I love them. In fact, sometimes we make a meal out of the appetizers. We do that in restaurants. We do that at home. And it's one of my favorite kinds of meals. What is an appetizer? It's a tasty morsel of something that makes you want more of the main thing. And that's what the psalmist had in mind. Psalm 34, verse 8. "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now here's something else about Elizabeth and me. We like to go to Wegmans. Wegmans is a grocery store. I know that there are many grocery stores and there are many great grocery stores, but we think Wegmans is the best, and so does Consumer Reports. They have rated Wegmans the best grocery store of its kind in America. And one of the things that I love about Wegmans, in fact, the other grocery stores imitate Wegmans in many ways. And one of the things I like about Wegmans and probably other places is that they will often let me taste something before I have to purchase it. They'll even open a package of something and let me taste it without having to purchase that package. And perhaps the best place in Wegmans for this is the cheese shop. They have the best cheese shop in the world. And something that's wonderful about their cheese shop is that if I see it under the counter and I'm wondering what it tastes like, they will give me a sample taste of just anything that they sell. Why do you think they do that? Because they know that their cheeses are superior. And they know that if you taste it, you'll buy it. Just ask Elizabeth. God is like that. God is superior. God is the best. And he knows that if you just taste of what he has to offer, you will want more. Imagine how stupid I would be if I were to go to Wegmans and I would say no to the cheese expert. No, I don't want to taste your cheese. It's not any good. I wouldn't know that. I would be showing my ignorance publicly. But maybe the clerk would say, oh, but taste and see. That's what God says. That's exactly what God says. And we all need to do that. We all need to taste the excellence of God's spiritual food. How is your appetite? Now, the words taste and see in Psalm 34 are in the active tense. And that means you have to move closer to God in order to taste and see. You have to do something. But I want you to listen to the context of Psalm 34. I want you to listen to the first seven verses of Psalm 34 that precede the taste and see verse. And I want you to notice how many active verbs there are. Listen for every one of them. And I want you to notice the object of every active verb in this prelude. Listen. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. David has just described worship. He said, extol, boast, glorify, seek, look, fear, then taste and see. That's why we come here, brothers and sisters. That's why we come here on Sunday mornings. We come to extol and to boast in the Lord and to glorify the Lord, to worship the Lord. David described the main course of this tasting. In the course of this, in verse 4, he said, God answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. He heard me. He saved me out of my troubles. And he delivers me. He answered me. He delivered me. He heard me. He saved me. Brothers and sisters, that is great food. That is not junk food. Taste and see how wonderful those things are. This is God's banquet. How's your appetite? Now, this should break our hearts. There are countless people who have not even heard the invitation to taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because you have not invited them. You need to dress up like a servant. You need to hold a silver tray of appetizers of God. And you need to circulate among mankind wherever God takes you. And you need to say, taste. And see, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Share God, and they will want more, and they will realize they need more. And that's true of you. You will want and need more. Brothers and sisters, if you do not feed your soul, you will starve to death spiritually. I read a story that I liked, and soon you'll understand why. It was actually a letter that was written to a Christian magazine, and it was sent by a very cynical reader, and here's what he said. It seems to me that ministers think that their sermons are very important and spend a great deal of time in preparing them. I have been attending church quite regularly for 30 years, and I have probably heard 3,000 sermons. To my consternation, I discovered I cannot remember a single one. I wonder if a minister's time might be more profitably spent doing something else. Okay. Well, that prompted a lot of responses from the readers, and the editors of the magazine chose what they believed to be the best response of all. And this is the response they published. It was from another man. He said, "I have been married for 30 years. During that time, I have eaten 32,850 meals, most of them prepared by my wife's cooking. To my consternation, I discovered I cannot remember the menu of most of those meals. And yet, I have the distinct impression that without them, I would have starved to death long ago." Now, yes, I know I am a man of many words, especially on Sundays. And most of them are going to be forgotten by the time you are having your appetizer after this sermon. But if there's anything in my messages that is of God, He will feed you. He will feed you, not me. How is your appetite? Are you hungry for God? And likewise, God's message through you, your words, will feed souls that need God. Don't be afraid to talk about Him with other people. Sadly, there are too many Christians who are hungry for spiritual food, but their appetite is not being satisfied. Newsflash, that is not God's fault. The fault lies within them. They are looking for what they can get from God rather than what they can give to God. And you know, when a Christian begins to feel like they're not being fed, what do? They start going church shopping. Have you ever been church shopping? I'm not being fed, so I'm going to go to another church. Been there, done that. I'm guilty, as probably almost everybody else in this room, of having done that. Sometimes I think that what church shoppers are really doing is that they want to sit in some kind of a high chair somewhere, and they want someone to shovel some kind of delicious spiritual food into their souls. And then they can kick their feet, and they can do their hands, and they can say, "More, more, 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 more." They're delighted, just like a little baby. And when they don't like what they're being fed, they get sour faces, and they spit it out all over the place, and they don't want any more of that. And they sing a familiar song, but it has a very different meaning. It goes this way: "Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me, feed me, feed me till I want no more, feed me till I want no more." God wants all of us to grow out of that passive attitude and use active verbs. How do you do that? What steps can you take to feed your soul and your mind and your spirit with life-changing spiritual food? Well, we've already talked about probably the number one thing, and that is worship. 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 And here's another: ingest His word. Discover what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 103. He said, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I loved what you said, Joan, that you read the word out loud. When I'm preparing these sermons, I read the word out loud. And when I'm just reading the word, I read it silently. I have discovered that reading it out loud brings it to life in a whole new way. And I just got all excited when you said that. You've given us another tool. Take it, brothers and sisters, and run with it. Now, this may come as a surprise to some people, but having a Bible in your home is not going to feed you. You have to ingest it, get the dust off of it, take it in. This is from the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, the normal Greek verbs for this in this passage, for hungering and thirsting, is to hunger for part of something, to be thirsty for part of something. For instance, you want a slice of bread. You don't want the whole loaf. Or you want a glass of water. You don't want a whole big pitcher full of water. But Jesus used different verbs. And the verbs he used are hungering for the whole thing. All that God has for you. Being thirsty for the whole thing. How much do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? How is your spiritual appetite? Now, I've shared this story before, but it bears repeating. It's at the end of World War II. The Allied armies rescued countless orphan children, and they took them into camps. They were dirty, and they were very hungry. So they cleaned their bodies, and they gave them lots of food, and they gave them beds. But they discovered something. The children could not sleep at night. They were restless. And they could not calm them down. Which aspect of the traumas that they had been through was causing this? They didn't know. So they called in a psychologist who examined the situation, and he discovered the problem and a solution. Each night, as a child was put to bed, they would give him a piece of bread. Not to eat, but just to hold on to as he fell asleep. And those children learned instinctively that there would be food available for them the next day. And they calmed down, and they slept through the night. How is your spiritual appetite? It's there for you all the time. The guarantee. It's there for you all the time. And you can be like those precious children. And you can have contentment. And Jesus said that when you hunger and thirst for the whole thing, you will be filled. You will be fully satisfied by the spiritual food that he brings. It will never diminish. How is your appetite? In America, we have insatiable appetites. The question is, for what? When it comes to food, we're very spoiled here in America. According to the United Nations, Americans eat 5 times more food than the people of Mexico. According to the United Nations, Americans eat 10 times more food than the people of China. We eat 30 times more food than the people of India. And we are the world's leaders in obesity. We don't really have to cook anymore. You know why? There are more restaurants than there are churches. And the restaurants are full. We are spoiled. As Christian Americans, we are also spiritually spoiled in other ways. We have beautiful church buildings everywhere with state-of-the-art electronics and projection. We have excellent television preachers that we can listen to and authors that we can read. We have Christian radio available to us all the time and television 24 hours a day. We have Christian music concerts of all styles. We have CDs and DVDs and downloadable Christian music just a click away. We have computers that can search for anything Christian just instantly, and we have more translations of the Bible than Baskin-Robbins has flavors of ice cream, and yet half of Christian marriages end in divorce. Countless Christian men and even some Christian pastors are addicted to pornography. Even with a church on every corner in most small towns, most of them are nearly empty. So, perhaps a better question is this: for what do you hunger and thirst? There are some people in this community who are not in any church today, and there are many reasons that they're not in a church today, but one of them is that they are satisfying their appetites with junk food. They're spending countless hours today on Facebook, on Instagram, on texting and emailing and talking on the telephone. Many of them are spending hours watching a television today. Many of them are spending hours reading the entire section of the sports section of the newspaper or watching hours worth of games on TV, maybe multiple games. But suggest to them that they spend just 1 hour here, and they will give you a "why should I do that" look. Yes, they're hungry, but they're not hungry for real spiritual food. They want junk food. Feed me, till I want no more. They are spiritually malnourished, but they don't even know it. And that, brothers and sisters, is tragic. But this is more tragic. There are countless Christians who are also spiritually malnourished, and they do know it. They do know it. Are you one of them? What can you do about it? What should you do about it? What will you do about it? How is your appetite? I'm going to close with two promises of Jesus. First is John 6:35. He said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger." John 7:37. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water flow from within him." Brothers and sisters, that is his Holy Spirit. That is his Holy Spirit flowing. If you are going to win the spiritual battles of your life, you must have spiritual food. How is your appetite? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Lord God, I squirmed as I thought about some of the things that I do to fill my time and to feed my mind. Rather than spending time with you and feeding on your word and your holiness and receiving from you, bread of heaven, I turn again to you and recommit myself, and I ask my brothers and sisters who are called by Christ to recommit themselves to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, as we do, may we see you more clearly for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.